Now, I know when I come up here, you're not all going to say, aw, right? Oh, now just cut that out. I shouldn't fish for those sort of comments, should I? The awe moment, though, is that we do get to open God's Word together. And that is truly a precious gift in the Church of Jesus Christ. And so let's do that. I encourage you to open a Bible with me to Psalm 62. We are here at Heritage. We are doing a summer in the Psalms series. This is actually our ninth summer, and we'll have a few more to go to make our way through all the Psalms. But this morning, we're going to look at Psalm 62. Now, to spend time in the Psalms, anytime we do so, and it's a marvelous gift. This is a treasure for the church. But to spend time in the Psalms is to find that the psalmist has this deeply personal relationship with God, and something about that stirs in our hearts. Because we want that. We want that kind of relationship with the Father. Today is Father's Day, and there's some great joy in remembering again the gift of our earthly fathers, but we look to our Heavenly Father, and we find the psalmist says, come to Him with all of who you are. Come and bring all of that you have in life. And there's a thread that connects every one of the psalms together, and that is this posture of trust. This posture of trusting in the loving care of our Father in heaven. And when that trust exists in the Christian life, that sense of faith, it trusts also that God wants us. He wants to hear from us. And two Sundays ago, we looked at a psalm of lament, and God wants that from us too. And last Sunday, we looked at essentially a psalm of complaint as well, and God wants that from us as well. And so with that in mind, we're going to turn this morning to Psalm 62. Here is a psalm that testifies that when we trust God, as the book of wisdom tells us, with all our heart, when we trust God with all our heart, what we receive is the gift of resting. What we receive is the gift of peace. And that's where Psalm is going to take us this morning. Let's ask for God's blessing through the Spirit as we open God's Word together. Let's pray. God in heaven, we long for that rest. Jesus has said, come to me if you're weary and I'll give you that rest. So help us to come to Jesus this morning. Help us to sit at his feet and be overwhelmed again by this beautiful gift of rest that is found in him. Holy Spirit, we need this work in us because we are restless people apart from Christ. So we pray for that work here. In Jesus' name, amen. Invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word, Psalm 62. We stand here to honor this moment of God's Word is throughout the centuries given to the church as a gift for our faith journey. Listen to God's Word. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is a mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Low-born men are but a breath. The highborn are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely, you will reward each person according to what he has done. This is God's word for us. This morning, you may be seated once again. Just over 25 years ago, in around the year 2000, a war slogan from 1939 was rediscovered. and it became wildly popular. Keep calm and carry on. This was a motivational poster that was produced by the British government prior to the war. The intent was to strengthen morale in the event of war breaking out, particularly the widely predicted mass air attacks that would happen on major cities. Just over 2.5 million copies of this poster were printed. And although that many were printed and the Blitz did, in fact, take place in September of 1940, so just over a year later, the fact is that this poster was actually rarely seen in public. Because of war rationing and such, most of them were recycled. Until around 2000, somebody in an old dusty bookstore in England came across a poster and put it up in their shop, and people were just attracted to it. Keep calm and carry on. It's not hard, I think, to see why that slogan has been so popular, even in today, so many years after the Second World War. We live in turbulent times. It seems like at every turn, almost every turn, we're confronted by a crisis. Quite frankly, there's a lot of fatigue that kicks in from that. We have economic instability. We do still have ongoing wars. We have declining birth rates. We have shifting ideas about what it means to be a human. We have mushy faith from Christians who have platforms that I think are kind of questionable. And the list goes on. And now we turn to Psalm 62, and God shows us that one of the things, and this is a treasure, this is a precious gift, and this is what we want for little Hannah as well. One of the gifts that followers of Jesus Christ give a world that is full of a plague of chaos is the gift of rest. We have an opportunity to show the world of what it means to be unshaken in the midst of it. And through genuine faith in Jesus Christ, and please hear that again this morning, none of this will make sense. It's all fluff apart from it unless we have that personal relationship that the psalmist talks about with Jesus Christ. We're going to miss this. But when we have it, we get to do this. We get to show the world what it means to trust God, and as a result, which is where Psalm 62 is going, what it means to rest in Him, to keep calm, and to carry on. So let's turn to Psalm 62 this morning. It's actually a psalm that can break down very easily in three different sections. The first section is verses 4-1. If you have your Bible open, you'll see those verses there in which the central focus is the psalmist saying, I want to tell you why I am unshaken. Verses 3 and 4 are filled with chaos, but he starts out, David says, my soul, which in it's not just a Hebraic or Hebrew idiom, this is something that encapsulates the entire reality of his life. He says, my soul finds rest in God alone. He, or my salvation, comes from him. Let's talk about rest for a minute. My soul, he says, finds rest. David isn't talking about physical rest. He's talking about complete rest. Rest that's there even when we're weary. Rest that's there even when we are tired and worn out. It's a rest that is whole. The Bible has a word for that. It's called shalom. It's called universal flourishing. It's peace. It's the way things are supposed to be. It's rest. It's rest, as I say in the screen here, it's rest from fear defining us. It's rest that says the anxieties of this world, and there's lots of anxieties around me, those aren't going to shape me. They're not going to define me. This is the rest he's talking about. It's not a rest to do nothing. Please don't mishear that. It's actually an active rest. It's active because of the rest that we're getting is in something, and clearly it's in someone. Even as the chaos. And if you look at verses 3 and 4, David says, man, I want to tell you, it's kind of ugly out there. There are people who are seeking to destroy me, to topple me, to destroy everything about my life. But he's saying, even in the chaos of verses 3 and 4, David says, my soul is at rest in God alone. Because there's one who is sovereign over all of it, which is really just another way of saying, as a follower of Jesus Christ, the chaos of this world is simply no match for the one who alone is my rock, who alone is my salvation, who alone is my fortress, who alone in whom I can say, I will never be shaken. It's that word alone, by the way. David is unshaken, and I'll say this again in a minute, but we all want this, right? We want that rest. But it's a very particular, in fact, it's a very exclusive opportunity. He says, my soul finds rest in God alone. God is the object of his trust. He's not trying something other than God, though we have a tendency to do that. Nor does he trust God and something else, though we tend to do that as well. He's saying, my trust, the rest, the reason I am unshaken is because it's in my rock, in my refuge, in God alone. David's trust is radically exclusive. And too often the reason that you and I don't experience the rest that David's talking about here in Psalm 62 is not because we don't trust God. I pray through the Holy Spirit. We know what faith is. We see who Christ is and what he's done, and we understand that we have to trust God. The reality is nobody ever is a Christian apart from trust in Jesus Christ. It's the ground of our foundation, of salvation. The problem, and it's a genuine one, I know it in my own heart, the problem is that too many times we do not trust God alone. Know what I mean? We don't trust God alone. We tend to add something to it. A dangerous thing to do, even if it's a small thing or maybe it's a big thing. Like we trust God, but I also trust in myself. I trust God, but I also trust in my resources. I trust God, but also in whatever is vying for the attention of my heart. And even David essentially is saying, it's like we have one foot on a solid foundation and another on one that is ultimately unstable. And so David's testimony, which is what verses 1 and 4 are all about, his testimony, one that I hope we'll have, is that to be unshaken, which we all long for, to be unshaken in this world, we must trust in God alone. Now let's look at the next section, verses 4 to 8, or 5 to 8, right? Here David's saying, what I have, you can have it. David goes from his testimony to the calling. And he's saying now to, as the king of Israel, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he's saying, man, what I have, this heart that trusts and rests in God alone, you too can have that. It might be exclusive, but it's not unreachable. Now, I can't speak for all of us here this morning. I know that. But I'm pretty confident what I've said is still true. We all want this. Things are crazy sometimes in our world. Some of it's very personal, some of it's corporate, some of it's just the reality of the mayhem around us. We want that rest. And David says, now I want you to look to the source. You want to know how to be unshaken in this world? I mean truly unshaken. To have feet that are standing on the rock who is Christ. David ultimately goes right to verse 8. This is the turning point of the psalm. He essentially shares his testimony over again in some of these verses, but he says right there, these are commands, these are imperatives. Verse 5, he says, find rest, he says. Know that he alone is your salvation. But verse 8, here's the call to you and me this morning. Trust in him at all times, O people. And then now this deeply personal thing he says. I want you to pour out your heart to him. See, we have a tendency to hold on to these things, but David is saying to find the rest, you need to pour out your heart to him because he is a refuge. And we're going to hear later, he's worthy of this. Oh, people, pour out your hearts to God this morning. Earlier, we witnessed the wonder of the baptism. I noticed she's She acted up just a little bit afterwards. She was quiet with me. It's okay. But man, we witness an amazing thing in the church whenever we see a baptism happen. Here's little Hannah. She's not going to remember today, but it makes it no less meaningful. The God who came to her and said, "This child belongs to me. The sign and seal of Jesus Christ is placed upon her forehead." And God's invitation to Hannah is that she can be unshaken, even unshakable. We want that for her, don't we? I want that for her. We want that for her, even as Nick and Melissa want that for her and her family and all of us here together in the Church of Jesus Christ. We want that for her. We want a soul for her that finds rest. Rest in God alone, and our prayer is she'll discover that. Not just some of the time, but in every circumstance, that she too would pour out her heart to God and trust in God alone. Augustine, a wonderful Christian believer in the early centuries of the church, he writes this in his infamous book, Confessions. He says, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." And that is true. That's the testimony of Psalm 62. David's sharing his testimony. What he longs for the body of Jesus Christ today to know is if you want that rest, you need to trust in him alone and pour out your heart to him. We want that for Hannah. I want that for everybody here. And so David shares his testimony. He calls the people of God in the midst of the swirling chaos in those days and this day. And now let's look at the final section, because in verses 9 through 12, three new perspectives that come from these verses that David says we get when we trust in God alone. The first is this: the troubles are not ultimate. He doesn't say they're not insignificant. He doesn't say they disappear just because somebody comes to faith in Jesus Christ. For Hannah, she's not going to be exempt from trouble. For you, for me. But through the lens, and here's the invitation of the gospel this morning, through the lens we discover that when we trust in God alone and when our heart finds rest in him, then David says, let me tell you about the troubles of this world. Low-born men, the ones in earlier verses 3 and 4 were causing all the trouble. He says, they're but a breath. And then later on at the end of that verse, together, right? All things weighed on a balance, he says. All the troubles of this world, they are just a breath. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 4 when he says the troubles of this world are light and momentary. I'll be honest with you, those words are hard. Light and momentary. And yet, what Psalmist is saying through Psalm 62 is that when we have this faith perspective, when we understand that when my heart trusts, when it really trusts and it finds this rest, then I get a new perspective on the chaos. And it tells me that troubles are not ultimate. They're not. I love the verse in Hebrews 13. I came across it again recently, and this is the Hebrew author. He's writing to the church that's in the midst of a mess. It's chaotic. It's hard to follow Jesus, just as then as so it is now. And he says this to the church. He says, "So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I'll not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Isn't that wonderful? What can the momentary troubles of this world, what can they do to me? Nothing. David talks about that in Romans 8, right? We're more than conquerors through him who loved us. David says here, verse 9, if weighed on a balance, they are nothing. One of the gifts of resting in Jesus is this: we get a perspective on the trouble. They're hard. They may even cause us to lose our very life in this world, but they are not ultimate. They don't win. Believe it. Hear it. Trust him. Here's the second perspective. It's not just on the troubles, but when our soul is at rest in God alone, we also gain a new perspective on hope, and we find out it's not of this world. Our hope is not of this world. We touched on this earlier too many times. I know this in my own heart. I wish it were otherwise. My sinful nature and yours too, it does this. But the problem is not that we don't trust God. It's that we don't trust God alone. And that's what we need to do. The problem is we don't trust him alone. We tend to add something. And I don't know, maybe it's things. Maybe we find out we want our security to be determined by how much money we make or how many friends we have or our social media account or the degree we're pursuing or any number of things. God plus something. They're things of this world. But when we trust in the King and the Father, we get a new perspective on these things, and we find out our hope isn't in this world. Our hope is not defined by things. And so this is verse 10. It's a warning to the people. He says, hey, don't trust in extortion. I mean, it's a bad thing, obviously, but don't take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, right? The security we may have in the momentary, do not set your hearts on them, because just like the troubles, they're momentary. They will not give you hope. The true hope of the human heart is the one who says to us in Matthew 11, these are the words of Jesus. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Exactly what David's talking about in Psalm 62. We need that perspective. We need a perspective that understands not only that the troubles of this world are momentary, light, not ultimate, but also that our hope is not in what's in our pockets or in our bank account. It's not what we find online. It's not what we drive. We got to hear this all the time. It's not here. Our hope is in Him. Here's a third perspective. When we rest in God alone, we discover He is worthy of our trust. This is like the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian, just opening our eyes. And David gets right to it. He says, I want to tell you what we discover. Two things. One, God is strong. Second, God is loving. That's the Christian life. He's strong. What does David mean? Well, that means that his sovereignty is over everything. He's strong enough to take the hardest moment of my life and your life and the chaos of this world and carry us through it. He's strong. Wonderful children's song, right? My God is so great, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. That's what David's saying. When a soul that rests in him alone, we see that God is worthy because of his strength. But that's not all that David says. He says there's another thing. He says God is also loving. And what does that mean? Well, that means he longs for you to know this rest. He longs for you to find rest, for your soul to rest in him, to know he is a refuge and he is your salvation. And amid all of this, and this is the testimony of the saints, and today is Father's Day, and one of the greatest gifts a father can give their children, and it's never too late to begin this, is to say, hey, kids, I'm not the strongest one in your life. I'm strong, and I'm loving, but ultimately, you need to go to the one who is strength and is love, and run to him. Run to him. Because ultimately, this verse is here point us to Christ. Christ is strong, and Christ is loving. He's strong enough because he can give us the rest we want and the rest we need. He's loving because he was willing to enter the chaos that we brought into this world because of our rebellion against God. But he was so loving that he bore the weight of God's wrath against our sin. He bore it so that we can say by faith, as David does in verse 1, and this is the verse, if you don't remember anything else, and I understand sermons are a lot of words, but let's hold to verse 1. As you go from here, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. See, this is the perspective. This is the reward that David's talking about. Not only that, we see the troubles aren't ultimate. Not only do we see that our hope is not of this world, but we see that God is worthy because he's strong and he's loving. Let me close by returning to the poster. Keep calm. There's an old Scottish lady that I met years ago in the church my in-laws attended at the time, and she'd always say, "Kettle dune. Keep calm. Carry on." If you see the poster, you see that there's a crown at the top of it. It represented the monarchy. Remember, this is Britain. And it was a king. And it represented to the people not only a unity of the message, but the source of it. It came from the very throne of their nation. I think as followers of Jesus Christ, we could just as well say, that's the crown of Christ our King. And the King says to you, keep calm. Carry on. It's not hard to see why we need this. Even more, we need the one in whom this is true. In Christ, we find rest. When the chaos tries to shake the world, and then faith takes hold of the one who gives rest to us, and we can say with David, I am unshaken. I don't like any of it. But I am unshaken. Corrie ten Boom, I mentioned her a couple weeks ago, well known in many parts ways because of her experience in the Second World War, in later years talked about what it looks like to trust in Christ when the chaos hits. And she said these words, "When a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off the train. You sit still and trust the engineer. Keep calm. And carry on. Because you're about to go back into a world that's full of chaos, but let's trust in Christ alone. He is strong, he is loving, and my soul finds rest in him alone. He alone is our salvation." Just think of the psalmist. He alone is my salvation. He alone is my refuge. He alone is the source of the rest my heart longs for. And we're going to sing these words in a moment. Those who trust God's changeless love build on the rock that will not move. Let's pray together. God in heaven, we know the chaos. Help us to know Christ. Help us to trust him daily, that the gospel would so saturate our minds and hearts and hands and feet and everything else that we'd so understand how the grace that saves is a grace that goes with us every day, so that we can sing with the psalmist, "My soul, my very being, my life, my hope, my future, everything, it finds rest in God alone." Lord, may we trust in this Christ, because those who trust in God will find that he gives us rest and he will guide us through the days to come. Lord, we need this. We long for it. Holy Spirit, give us this gift. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.